Hello and welcome to the Postcard from Gibraltar podcast. Just imagine packing a small bag and setting off on a European road trip with your two best friends from school, with no hotels booked and no set route planned. Just seeing where your adventure will take you. Well, that's just what my guest today, Rebecca Faller, did. It brought her to Gibraltar, and that's when her love affair with the place began.
The main thing about Gibraltar is the Gibraltarians, the actual population and the customs and the funny mix of culture that's here and the lovely architecture. And we came in February, the end of February, and it's terrible. You know, the weather, you know, it was blowing a gale, raining. So we fell in love with it at its worst because there was an essence about the place that we just loved it.
When we arrived in Gibraltar to live almost 8 years ago, little did I know it was to become our home for such a long spell. Nor did I know how it would become the catalyst for my own creativity. I've always harboured crafty ambitions and interests, but until this point in my life, I was stopped from doing what I wanted by either working shifts or having small children to look after. When we landed here in Gibraltar, though, the planets came into alignment. There was just something about the place and the time in my life which meant I was able to rediscover my crafty mojo as I rekindled my love for all things creative. And I soon realised that when you peek under the surface, there's a whole lot of other creativity going on here too, much more than I was aware of in any of the other places I've lived before. Now that all my children are in full-time school, I've had the luxury of being able to take up watercolour classes and dressmaking classes, which I absolutely love. They're stimulating and make my brain work again after so long as a stay-at-home mum. Through the classes and other networks, I've been lucky enough to meet some fascinating creative people during my time here, and I figured it was time I told the rest of the world about some of the amazing things which are going on in Gibraltar. Throughout the month of February, I'm focusing on some of the creative folk who are living and working here in Gibraltar. Back on Wednesday, on the Postcard from Gibraltar blog, I featured a post all about my immensely talented watercolour teacher, Deborah M. Lawson. I'll include a link to the post about her in the show notes for this podcast in case you missed it. Today, in the spirit of my Creative Gibraltar series, I'm including a chat with the local writer, poet and all-round creative being, Rebecca Faller. At Christmas, one of the gifts I received was a copy of Rebecca's book, Reno 5. It tells an autobiographical tale of three young women on a road trip across Europe in the 1990s. Beginning on the south coast of England in late December, the tale takes the young women south through France, Spain, Portugal and to Gibraltar. The story had me hooked. I'm not a fast reader, but I read it in a day because I couldn't put it down. I caught up with Rebecca at the Gibraltar National Art Gallery, so this sounds a little bit echoey, but please bear with it because I think you'll enjoy what Rebecca has to say. She started by telling me how they decided what to do on their adventure.
They said that they were going to go and live in a kibbutz in Israel, and they told me, and they gave me an ultimatum. And we'd grown up together, the three of us. And even though at that time I lived in Brighton, Flea lived in London, and Sark lived in Portsmouth, the thought of not having them in my life and them going off and doing this, I thought, oh, I'll do anything, I'm going. It meant having to completely, it was just decided like on the back of a fag packet in a pub type of thing on one night. And then we made it happen. It was because of them saying that they wanted to leave England and go on an adventure. Are you coming? And I was thinking, oh God, I've got to go and get a job. I was a student. I'd finished my studies, but I was in between. I was on the dole. And it was like, oh God, it was like, what do I do? That or that? And so I just thought I couldn't lose them. I'm going with them.
So you seized the moment.
I did. But then I kind of turned it around to suit me. Because I didn't want to go and live on a kibbutz in Israel. I wanted, to me, that was, it sounded like, you know, prison sentence. And of course, and also in those days, it was a bit fashionable to do that. And well, it wasn't fashionable, it was sort of passe, it was a bit passe, actually, and everyone was doing it. It was like, do you really learn anything, or are you just sort of doing someone's washing up for them? And that's when they said to me, well, what do you want to do then? And we had a discussion about it, like we do, that we've known each other for a long time. We just thrashed it out, discussed it, and planned it, that just on that night, and then set ourselves missions to make it happen, like saving money and everything, buying a car, and took it from there. But it was all just happened one night.
And you say you're still in contact. How did the friendship last on, you know, living on a shoestring in very close confines, in sometimes quite tricky situations? Mm-hmm. You're still friends?
Oh, yeah. Made us closer. I mean, the things... We've known each other since we were very young. We all met at infant school. And we've been through sort of puberty together and O-levels and A-levels. And, you know, there have been falling outs over the years, but sort of like typical teenage girl sort of misunderstandings. And just when you sort of try different things with other people, you know. But we've always remained friends. And we're all similar. We're all artists as well, and we like the same sort of thing. Like, the one time, yeah, we like boozing and smoking fags and chasing after men, but we also really like art and architecture and looking around churches, and there's a common ground there. And I don't know, we're just all the right temperament. And we had this thing like most good friendships have, like if somebody's not, if someone's, one of the group's annoying you, rather than confront them and have a go at them, you talk to somebody else in the group and just get it off your chest. And then they might say, oh, you're being too harsh, or, yeah, I agree with you, but then just let it go, you know. And that's how those relationships carry on. And it'd be the same for all of us. I'd annoy them, they'd talk to it, you know. But we're still together to this day, and we have a reunion every 2 years and always go in a hotel room together as a three. We can't separate because we like that girly feeling of sort of staying up late and sort of chatting. And we've never lost it. And there's never been like blazing rows or anything. I don't know. Lots of people say that. Because when it happens to you, you think, I can imagine other people, if I had to live with them or even go for a weekend with them, they would annoy me. Mm-hmm. But these two didn't.
You had the winning formula then?
Yeah, no, it's just complete accidental luck. And yeah.
Now this road trip obviously had a huge impact on your life and the life of another one of your friends, because you're both still in Gibraltar now.
Yeah. I mean, we loved it when we came here. And it wasn't like it is now. It was a lot more run down. There was a lot more of a military presence, which is actually what we were running away from, one of the things, because our hometown was an army base, and the bigger city near to our hometown, Portsmouth, was a naval base. And so, you know, we didn't like those aspects of the places that we grew up in. We avoided them, and to come to a base, but of course we thought it was a base, and we didn't realize that it wasn't really. That was a completely small part about what Gibraltar really is, but we didn't know that. We just thought it was a base and it had apes. And it's Union Jackie, sort of Queen, and all these things that we don't like, you know, as sort of left wing. But it wasn't like that at all. Of course, that was there. But the main thing about Gibraltar is the Gibraltarians, the actual population and the customs and the funny mix of culture that's here and the lovely architecture and the weather, because we came in January. No, actually, we came in February, the end of February, and it's terrible. You know, the weather, you know, it was blowing a gale, raining. So we fell in love with it at its worst, because there was an essence about the place that we just loved it. We loved just walking down the street, and then you soon become familiar with people. You start saying hello to people that you pass, and I loved that. Because we come from not a tiny village, but we come from a place called Emsworth in Hampshire. And it was a bit, if you like that sort of thing, we like that sort of knowing the person that works in that shop and this shop. And then, of course, it blossomed into spring and summer, and it's like, oh, God, this is great. And that's when we left. We left in the summer and went on the rest of our journey. I mean, I was coming back anyway, but Sarah didn't take long to come back. We always thought, oh, this is paradise. This is paradise. We're going to make it. And, of course, we were used to living on shoestrings and in cars and on boats and things like that. So we didn't have the kind of, oh, God, it's really expensive to live here thing, because we kind of made our own accommodation. We soon found out about that. But, you know, we crossed that bridge as well. And we both live here in Gibraltar. We own property here. We've had our children here. So,
yeah, there was one part in the book that really stood out to me, when you went to Europa Point and you saw the lighthouse keepers' cottages and you said, oh, what a wonderful place to live.
Yeah.
And hey presto, all these years later.
Yeah. That was my dream house. As I mentioned before, I come from a place called Emsworth. It's a very picturesque harbour in the south of England. And I've always been drawn to lighthouses, port lights, the sea. It's where, and I studied in Brighton, and I'm never far from the sea. I love it. And I'm a romantic as well. So the first thing we did when we crossed the frontier was like, and we all wanted to do it, let's drive to the end and look at Africa. I mean, it was such a big deal, but we wanted to drive to the end. So we drove in the Renault 5, and we got to the end, and we parked up, and it was really bleak and blustery. And we would look, oh, look, there's Africa. And then there were those beautiful little white cottages. And I loved them because it was so bleak there. Because there was, in those days, there wasn't the mosque, there wasn't there was an old shop there, but it was really run down. And I just thought, I love this because it's very remote. And it's the beginning of two, it's the end of two worlds. You've got Africa, you've got the Mediterranean, you've got the Atlantic. I just thought, this is just incredible. And there's houses there. And I just thought, it's my dream home. And it became my house. Yeah. By chance as well, because it was a government tender. It wasn't like it was up for sale and I just came big with a big suitcases full of money and bought it. It was a chance. I had to tender for it. And I happened to be the highest bidder. I kind of, if you believe in fate and things like that, it's like, there's a good example.
That's really quite amazing that it all fell into place for
me. I know. I mean, it took me a few, like 15 years. But I've been living in that house now for 11 years, and it changed my life, that house. I love living in the old town in Gibraltar, and I would never have left the old town because I love it. But then that came up, and that was my house, and it is my house. And I love it. I love going home every evening from work, and it never bores me. And that view just changes all the time, with whether it's cloudy or sunny. Or sometimes Morocco isn't there, is it?
Yes,
and sometimes it is there. Fantastic view.
Now, going back to the book, when I finished it, I kind of wanted to know what happened next. Mm. Is there going to be a part two?
Probably not, because it's my life. I mean, maybe when I'm really old and if I'm famous and people want to know the ins and outs of my life, I'll write another bit. But the reason why I wrote that story is because I just thought it was a great road movie for women. And, I mean, there's the only other road movie trip is Thelma and Louise in film form. And, of course, that has a lot, that's a bit heavier. You know, people get shot and it doesn't necessarily have a happy ending. I wanted to write something with a happy ending, and it happened. It's very authentic because it's written from diaries. So I don't know if I didn't write diaries afterwards, and I've got other things going on though. I've got other things in the pipeline, little books, and I've got my short stories and my poetry. But what I want is to make Renault 5 into a film, so I can give up my job and concentrate on my writing, and then there'll be more sequels and more things coming out. But it's hard to do it, because I have to go to work in a full-time job, and I don't get the time to write.
I think that's a problem, a frustration a lot of people have, isn't
it? Yeah, I waited 20 years to write this book, and it was only because I got made redundant from my job and I got a payoff, and I was then able to take 6 months out of the scene, and I went away to... I wrote this book in Tarifa, Every year now I go, that started a trend actually, that did. Every year, and I'm in February, I get the privilege of being given a friend's flat who vacates it for a month at that time of year. And I go there and I lock myself in for a week, go to the supermarket, fill up, don't go out, don't speak to anyone. Make the old telephone conversation, and I take my music that stimulates me, and I just write, and then I can go. I can sometimes end 4 o'clock in the morning, or sometimes I watch a film or something like that. But I just isolate myself, and everything comes out. And I've been doing that now. This will be the fourth or the fifth one I'm doing in a few weeks' time, and that's what I. Other things I can write poetry in between time. But it's those long things where you really have to think of how you're going to put it together. And also, I write line by line. I don't plan it. I write when it, like, I'm writing like a story. And that's difficult. Renault 5 wasn't that difficult because I had the diaries and I knew what was going to happen. But when writing new things, it's like, I just let the story take me. But then you have to go back and do all the editing and that. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard, hard, hard. But especially when you only have 1 week. But I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep going at it. And one day I'll hopefully be able to just concentrate a lot more of my time onto writing. Either to become successful or my kids will grow up and I'll have more time.
That sounds wonderful. Absolutely. Just looking ahead, if anybody listening to the podcast would like to get hold of a copy of Renault 5, where can they get it?
It's in all the bookshops in Gibraltar. And it's also on Kindle and on Amazon to download. And if by chance you still can't get hold of it, I am on Facebook, Rebecca Faller, and I'm quite happy for anyone to like cold email or cold contact me. I'd be happy to help. I'm in the process of setting up a website as well, because people are nagging me, you need a website. So I'm doing that now.
Thanks so much to Rebecca Faller for giving up her lunch break to speak to me. For all the details about how to find Rebecca's book, Renault 5, please take a look at the show notes for this episode at postcardfromgibraltar.com/podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Postcard from Gibraltar podcast. If you want to be sure not to miss the next episode, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I'd love it if you'd hit the subscribe button and even leave a review. You can also find me and subscribe on the Podomatic app for Android and iOS devices. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, goodbye for now.